Where's my salvation, everybody? Where's your salvation? Bible says hidden in Jesus Christ. Why? Because if he gave it to me, I'd drop it or break it or lose it, wouldn't I? I know I would. Would you? If my salvation was under my control, I would never get to heaven. Get that? Don't laugh at me. Neither would you.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse, through the Bible. Jesus claims once again to be God as our study of John continues in chapter 10, verse 22. Here's Pastor Bob.
When the word of God goes out, it'll divide. Some say, don't listen to this fool. He's crazy. He's demon-possessed. Others say, he can't be demon-possessed. He gave sight to this man who was born blind. The demons can't do that. It's got to be of God. So you see, there are some who will listen to Jesus. There will some who find everything wrong with him and have nothing to do with him. And there they are. So we take up from there in verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. This is 2 months later. That was the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Feast of Tabernacles happens in October. And the Feast of Dedication is in the winter, in December, in our, what we call the month of our December. So 2 months have gone by between verse 21 and 22. And Jesus walked in the temple, Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him. Interesting language. The Jews are the spiritual leaders, plus the crowds that are there as well. They came round about him and they said to him, how long you make us to doubt? If you be the Messiah, Christos, Mashiach, tell us, in plain language, plainly. He's been telling him and he's been telling him, but they just can't get it. Jesus walks, he's walking in the temple area during the Feast of Dedication. It was also known as the Feast of Lights. It is still celebrated today, but the Hebrews now call it the same, the Hebrew word is Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication. Jewish holiday, and what they celebrate is the reconsecration of the temple in Jerusalem after its altar was destroyed by Antiochus Epiphanes. Thank you. But it was 165 BC. The temple, remember, was ransacked and destroyed, and they rebuilt it, reconsecrated the temple and its altar to the traditional service of the Lord. And they call it Hanukkah, or if you will, Feast of Dedication, or Feast of Lights, sometimes it's called. It starts at the new moon, that's in December, and it lasts for 8 days. That tells us it's the December time frame now, as opposed to the Feast of Tabernacles, the October time frame. So a couple of months have gone by. So now, Jesus walks in the temple, Solomon's porch. It was known as, if sometimes you'll see it in your Bibles, as Solomon's colonnade. It was a long covered walkway, and it was just on the east side of the temple. The Jewish leaders are still looking for an opportunity to trap Jesus. They never let up. They're still looking for an opportunity to trap him. And they're there. The Jewish leaders are looking for that. The other people are there at the temple, so it's one of the feasts, so there's plenty of people there. And so a crowd gathers around by Solomon's porch there. Jesus walked in the temple at Solomon's porch, verse 23. Look at verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him. That language is interesting in the Greek there. They're looking for this opportunity. So they surrounded him. When it says they came around him, they kind of just cut off. He was walking. They just kind of stopped his walking and encircled him. They circled the wagons around this guy. If you're the Messiah, say it. If we were here in America, say it in English. Just say it in plain, simple language so we can all get it. He has, everybody. So look at verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you did not believe. King James, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. They show you I am. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said. Remember earlier, he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He said that the last time we got together here in chapter 10. Well, he says, you believe not, verse 26, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep, again, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He has said that already. He's repeating it. A couple months ago, he said it. Now he's saying it again. And I give to them, who? Who's them? My sheep. Let me ask you a question. Are you a sheep of Jesus? And you go, well, duh, I'm sitting in church. No, that's not why. I didn't ask you where you were. I could see that. But where's your heart? He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Okay, let's take a look. Let's tackle that. You refuse to believe me. He says this, the miracles, I'm going to paraphrase, but this is the language. The miracles that I did are clear evidence that I have come from the Father in heaven. No one else can do what I've done. He's raised people already from the dead. He has given the blind their sight. He made a lame man walk that had never walked in his life. He cured leprosy. There is no cure for leprosy to this very day. They can kind of get it under control, but there's no real official cure, and God cures it. And that's what he's saying. The miracles that I've done, you've seen them, the works, the wonders, the works that I've done, they are evidence, they are proof from the Father that I come from the Father, that he sent me. And I work these miracles or these works by the authority of my Father and for my Father's glory. I'm not doing this to make a show so you'd be impressed and believe. I'm doing what my Father wants me to do. And when I do, when you do, when we all do what our Father wants us to do, guess what that does? It may be simple, like love your enemies. And you, someone who doesn't like you, you just give them a hand anyway. What does that do? That glorifies God in heaven. That shows everybody else he really exists and he really is there. Because look how his sheep live. He repeats his words once again. We've heard them a few times. Now we're going to hear them again. My true sheep, my sheep hear my voice. Let me say it this way. The language is they recognize and they listen to. They recognize that it's their shepherd. And they listen. They listen to my voice. And they follow me. To follow Jesus isn't just to wander behind him. To follow means to walk like. To become day by day. To follow after. He says it. If any man or woman, any individual will come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and what? Follow me, walk like me, imitate me. We're going to walk in this world by the power of God's Holy Spirit so that others can see Jesus. He says, I give to them. It's a gift. They don't buy it. They don't earn it. They don't live up to it. They are given freely. What? Eternal life. How long is eternal life? Well, if it's forever, why is everybody talking about losing it? If God gives it to you as a gift, And he says, I won't take it back. Do you have it or not? And if it's eternal, how long is eternal? You know what some teach? Well, until you mess up. Anybody mess up today? Romans chapter 7. Paul says, and he's been in the ministry almost 20 years when he writes this, there's sin in me. And there's the Spirit of the living God. You got the Spirit, the new life, and the old nature. And Paul says, the things I want to do, I end up not doing that. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing it. And he goes, it's driving me nuts. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? And then he goes into Romans. Thank you for Romans 8. I thank God through Christ Jesus. There's now no condemnation. I'm not doing it, everybody. He is. I'm going to read you that in a moment. I'm not doing it. He is. You're not doing it. He is. Listen, lasting forever, never-ending life. And then this is a very strong affirmation that he speaks. And he says, and they shall never, literally, the language is, they will indeed not ever perish. Says they shall never perish, but the Greek is they will indeed not ever perish. Spiritually, these bodies are going to get left behind one way or the other. Either it dies or we're raptured and we're given a new body. We're transformed, 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But your earth suit will not work in heaven. You've heard me explain that to you. Your earth suit only works on earth, and there's parts of earth it doesn't work. Try getting into the ocean and seeing how deep you can go. They shall never, literally, they will indeed not ever perish. How long is that? They will never, they will not ever. How long is that? It's the same as eternal life. It never ends. You will never suffer a spiritual separation or spiritual death. And what does he say? He doesn't stop there. Wait, these are promises you need to put your faith in and believe. I give to them, verse 20, eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Are we in any danger of the devil getting a hold of us and dragging us off into the darkness, screaming and kicking? When Jesus stopped to handle someone else's issues, grabbed you and dragged you into a hole. You don't believe that for a minute, do you? That's the movies. That's not scripture. And listen closely to the language. And neither shall any man, and the language is T-I-S, tis. And it means literally, neither shall anyone or anything. That's why they put man in there to help finish the thought. The Greek word simply says, and neither shall anyone or anything pluck them out of my hands. What does that include? Anyone or anything. And people say, well, I'm in control of my own salvation. Who of you here actually believe you're in control of your own salvation? How many of you have ever dealt with a four-month-old? And you already got $20,000 in the bank for this little thing. Do you give it to them? Like write a little check and say, here, this is yours. What would they do with it? They would eat it. I'd still do that today. If you have a little chocolate on the corner, I'd be right. They would slobber all over it, chew it up, or they would tear it to pieces or whatever. They would, you'd let them, you know, if you leave them there for a minute, come back and maybe the dog just took it away. Would you trust your little bitty one with their $20,000 of college tuition? Where's my salvation, everybody? Where's your salvation? Bible says hidden in Jesus Christ. Why? Because if he gave it to me, I'd drop it or break it or lose it, wouldn't I? I know I would. Would you? If my salvation was under my control, I would never get to heaven. Get that? But don't laugh at me. Neither would you. And that's why the Bible makes it clear. Jesus says, you're in me. You're now hidden in me. He is. You have to become one with Jesus. You must be born again. Now you're hidden in him. You're part of his body. And neither shall any man or anyone or anything pluck them out of my hand. The Greek word for pluck is harpazo. Where have you heard that before? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, when the church is snatched away, violently seized, we use the term rapture because that's in the Latin Vulgate. But if you want to use the Greek, the regular Greek that we're using, the word is harpazo. That means to violently seize, to snatch away, to take away. Jesus just said, no one, not anyone or anything can snatch them away, grab them away, take them away, carry them off from me. God's got you and nobody's getting you. He promised in this verse that no sheep of his will ever spend eternity separated from him. In other words, die spiritually. I believe it. Do you believe it? It's a faith issue, basically. My Father, verse 29, my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. In other words, he's greater than anything. He's God Almighty. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to kill him. Why? Because they understood him perfectly. He just claimed to be God. He claimed to be the Son of God. God in human flesh. They said, tell us plainly. He told them again plainly, and they called it blasphemy. And Jesus said to them, he answered, verse 32, many good miracles or works I've shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you want to kill me? Do you want to stone me? And the Jews answered and said, for a good work or a miracle, we stone thee not, but for blasphemy and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Did Jesus ever claim to be God? Right there he just did, and they heard him out loud, and they knew he did, and to them that's blasphemy. They're going to kill him again. They're trying to kill this guy every few months. The Jewish leaders instantly understand the language. You can't ignore it. They picked up rocks to put him to death. And he said, I've done a lot of good works from my Father. Which one of the miracles are you killing? Want to kill me for now? We're not to kill you for the miracles. For blasphemy. Well, why? Because you're claiming to be God Almighty in human flesh. You are claiming to be equal with God. Did he ever claim to be God in human flesh? Again, yes. How can people teach that he didn't? The only thing I can figure is they're not reading the whole Bible. Only reading their favorite parts or something. I don't know. Verse 34. Jesus answered and said, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? That's got a little G, by the way. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent to the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. Believe me not. But if I do, and he already has, though you believe me not, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Oops, he just did it again. His argument is so simple, we can't deny it. He says to them, your arguments aren't logical. When you accuse me of blasphemy for calling myself God's son, and he says, I've shown you all kinds of perfectly clear signs, miracles that I've done that proves that the Father is with me. It's the power of God that's doing it, that I am the Messiah. He says, you have to be completely blind on purpose, completely rejecting on purpose. Not because you can't believe, but again, because you just say, I don't want it to be true. I don't want there to be right now trouble in the Middle East. I just don't want it. How am I doing? 39. Therefore, remember when I said, oops, he just said, you know, that you may know and you believe. I'm doing this so you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Oops, he did it again. Blasphemy. He's saying that he's one with the Father, that he's God the Son, the Messiah. Therefore, they sought again to take him. This is, you know, twice in just this chapter here. But he escaped out of their hands. Some people say, how did he escape? I don't know. The word says he got away. I don't know how. And he went away again beyond Jordan to the place where John at first was baptizing. And there Jesus remained. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all the things that John spoke of this man were true. And many believed on him. So here they are out in the wilderness and they're believing, but right there in the temple, having those miracles they saw, they're not believing. That's the way it works. One of the men that was witnessing to me, I've told you this, but one of the men that was witnessing to me way back there in 1972, we were at a Denny's. And he was saying this and that, and he said, do you believe? I said, I don't know. It sounds kind of far-fetched. I was, 21 years old. I mean, I knew everything. Remember when you were 21? Duh. And he said, I just don't believe it. He goes, what would make you believe? And I said, I don't know. I never thought about it. Maybe a miracle. Maybe. If I saw a real miracle. I didn't know what I was saying. And he stood up. I'm thinking, oh boy, this guy's going to embarrass me. And he starts praying out loud. He's in a Denny's. People just looked like, look at the loony. We get dinner and a show. Cool. Like being in Las Vegas. And he stands up and he starts praying. He lifts his hands. I go, put your hand. What are you doing? He said, I'm going to ask God. What are you going to mean? Ask God. He says, see that semi-tractor trailer over there, you know, parked across in the parking lot? Somebody in there eating Denny's, you know, on his way to where he's got to drive his truck to. He says, I'm going to ask God to put that on the roof right here. I go, you're not need to sit down. He goes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask God to do it. God will do that. If that would save you, God would do more than that. I'll ask him to take every car in the parking lot and stack them on top of it. I'll show you. God will do that for you. I said, sit down. He wouldn't do it. So I stood up and I shoved him down back into the seat. I was kind of scared the truck might move. I was starting to feel a little odd. And I just said, you got to quit this. He goes, you know what I bet? I bet if I'd have asked God to do that and he did it, you'd say it was a trick. You'd say I had it planned and set up and you wouldn't believe. Miracles don't cause people to believe. They may get your attention, but you ever notice when a miracle happens and you're like, oh, that was God. 2 weeks later, you're down in the dumps because now you're losing your job and God hates you and there's no miracles coming. You got to see another one. Miracles don't last very long. They work to show you God's power, but we forget that quickly. And, you know, and he said to me, and it was just odd for me to answer, but I answered. He said, I don't believe you. It would have done it. And I said, you know what? I think you're right. I think if it really actually happened, I would say you planned it in advance and there was some kind of trick to it and I try to figure it out, right? Because when you don't want to believe, you are not going to believe. Miracles won't do it. God's proving it through the New Testament, all those miracles. He raised people from the dead, and the Pharisees still refuse to believe. So Jesus does it again, claims to be God Almighty in human flesh, so they tried to grab him. They're going to kill him. He escaped. I don't know. We're not told how. He left there and he went over beyond Jordan, it says, to the place where John the Baptist, there was water over there, and John the Baptist was baptizing when he first came into ministry. Remember, he got his head cut off years ago. The place is called Perea, that area, Perea. And what amazes me is many came to faith in Jesus Christ out in the wilderness and right there in the temple with those amazing miracles. Nothing. They came out. And they believed on him. To believe on Jesus means to put your faith and your trust in him. Just like the chair that you're sitting on, to put all of your weight on it with faith that it will hold you up. You just need to put all of your weight on Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com /studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.